Lord, in the midst of tragedy, we know that you're still there. You have not forsaken your people. Lord, that you stand strong and mighty. There's nothing that catches you off guard. And Lord, we just come before you now. And Lord, we thirst for your word today. We hunger for something from your table. Lord, we sit at your tables, as said in this psalm. We'll be filled with goodness. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us this morning with your word. Lord, as Pastor John brings forth your word, let it inspire us. Let it encourage us. Let us see your hand. And may we proclaim it even as we leave here today. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. All glory and honor unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. If you've been here at all over the last month, you know that I've been talking about godly wisdom, walking in godly wisdom, something that's so important for us. According to God's word, we know there's two kinds of wisdom. One is heavenly wisdom, and the other is earthly wisdom. And the heavenly wisdom, of course, comes from God. But the earthly wisdom, it says, is unspiritual, it's carnal, and it actually comes from the devil and leads to death. So we have to watch out for that worldly wisdom, because God's telling us right in his word there that it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Our job as believers is to do everything we can to not get sucked into the wisdom of this world, to sort of put it off to the side and learn how to walk in heavenly wisdom. That's what we want. We want to be smart believers. The people of God are the wisest people in the world. You know, we may not always have as much information in certain areas, but as far as eternal wisdom, that is so important, being able to have the wisdom that comes from God, that connection to him. There's nothing like it. And what God is telling us is that our mind can actually be reformatted. It can be made new. And why does he want us to do that? So we can have spiritual insight. So we can see things according to the Spirit and have an eternal perspective in our decision making. And that's important. We want to see things in light of eternity. Basically, we need to have our mind renewed, or however you want to say, rebooted in today's language. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And Ephesians 4:22 and 23 tells us, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds." So see, God wants us to not only to renew our mind, but he wants us to take on a whole new attitude, a whole new way of looking at life. That's what we need. Why is God so concerned about our attitude? He's got his reasons, because our minds, for so many years, depending on when we got saved, have been filled all our life with all kinds of thoughts and ideas and perceptions and experiences and information and all these kind of things that have come in into our mind. It's like they've been downloaded into our mind. And all of this in some way, now, after we have it, it affects our perception. It affects, you know, our perception of events, of people, of situations, of God, of everything that we deal with. And it affects the way we view the world. It colors our worldview. And it's very important for us as believers to have a Christian worldview. It's so important for us to have that kind of a worldview. And the Holy Spirit, our counselor, is here to help us get that worldview. He communicates to us, and he helps us to see God's truth in whatever situation we are involved in, whatever we encounter. And so we need to learn how to recognize his voice and then line it up with the word. We need to know that the Holy Spirit will always reaffirm God's word. That's what he'll do. If you think you're hearing the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not the Holy Spirit. It could be some other spirit. Or it could just be our own thinking. And we think, oh, we're hearing from God, and it's just our own heart, our own emotions. So we have to be careful. We have to really check, does it line up with the Word? Is it really God? And will, and another way to check that too is, will it bring glory to God? Will it bring glory to God? Will it honor His people, Him and His people? Because the Holy Spirit has enough wisdom to help us see God's will and be able to do what we're supposed to do in a way that will please God. And that's our goal. That's why we read in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But then it goes on and it says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." What an amazing thing that we have available to us. According to God's word, our mind can actually be made new. You know, all that junk we've been dealing with, the fears, all these different things. So how do we do it? Well, the first thing I want to say is it's not going to happen just by itself. Just because time is passing on, time itself does not mature us. It doesn't, you know, give us wisdom. We have to put those kind of things inside here. We have to be proactive. We have to actively do that. We have to purposely fill our mind with godly thoughts and with heavenly wisdom. So I want to look at two scriptures. The first one I already talked about back a couple weeks ago, and that was Colossians. I'm just going to review real quick a little bit of it. Colossians 3:2, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Our heart, our mind, our thoughts, our hopes, our dreams, you know, we can't let them be set on the things of this world. And it's so easy to do. I mean, but we have to remember, this world is not our home. It seems like it is, because we live here now, we're in the world, but according to Philippians 3:20, it tells us our citizenship is in heaven. That's our real home. That's our eternal home. That's our kingdom where we're going to be. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And that's right out of Scripture. We are short-term visitors, just passing through. Our lifetime, it may seem sort of long, but I'll tell you what, the older I get, the shorter it seems. And not just even what's still coming, but just the whole thing. It's not that long. When you're young, it seems long because you're young. You don't have a lot of experience to look back at, and so it seems like life goes on forever. And then the older you get, the more you realize, wow, life really is pretty short. Most people weren't lying when they said that. It is short, especially in light of eternity. And our eternal home is heaven. That's where we want to be, right? So everything in this world is going to rot, pass, fade away. Everything is going to go. It says in 1 John 2:17, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." And of course, the women too. So when we set our sights and our hopes and our dreams on worldly things to fulfill us, all it does is bring all kinds of things we don't want. Anxiety, fear, frustration, doubt, all these things. The very things we want to avoid are the things that happen. We're trying to make such a good life for us. We're trying to work for security and safety and build this and build that. And the more we put our hope in those things, the more frustrated and fearful we get. That's why we need to set our minds on the things above and seek first the kingdom of God, like He tells us in His Word. And this is how we change our attitude, by doing that kind of a thing. And the second scripture I wanted to look at today is in Philippians 4:8. Now, I read the scripture 2 weeks ago, but I really didn't get a chance to get into it. I ran out of time, and I'm actually probably going to run out of time today. But I'll go as far as I can go. And Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That scripture gives us some real direction. How do I know what to do? What does God want me to do? What am I supposed to, how am I supposed to live my life? We don't sometimes understand, but this scripture gives us specific directions on how to transform our thinking, our thought life, how we can get this new attitude that God wants us to have. It actually gives us a list of the kind of things to think about. It's not a complete list by any means, but it's a list, and it clearly shows us the direction that our thinking should be going. And that's important. And if you notice that list, if you look at that list, it doesn't include things like fear or anxiety or worry. It doesn't say think about those things. It doesn't say think all day about the coronavirus. And the news wants you to, because it sells news. They love a crisis. They have a line that's been used, don't ever let a good crisis go to waste. You ever hear that? That come from the communist groups and people like that that are in the progressive movement of the Democratic Party. They don't ever let it go. Every time there's a crisis, use that to get something more that you want. They tried to, when they were working on this coronavirus bill this week, Nancy Pelosi inserted more money for abortion funding. They blocked it, thankfully. But they see, they will always try to use every crisis to further the goals of the progressive movement. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. But it doesn't include those kind of things. We're not supposed to think about doubt or selfishness or our pride or lies or purity. All those negative things. They're all negative. That list doesn't, everything in that, all those things, negative things, bring us down. They bring shame into our life. They make us feel ineffective. They make us want to run and hide, just like Adam and Eve did when they sinned. We don't need to run and hide from God. God wants us to run to Him no matter what's happened. The whole list is extremely positive. Now, I'm not into just positive thinking for positive thinking's sake. Positive thinking is not the answer, but thinking positively about Jesus Christ and His Word is. So that kind of thinking, what that does is it's the kind of thinking that begins to change our attitude. It begins to help us think in a different way, and what it does then is it begins to build our character. As our attitude begins to change, our character starts to change, and we start to become the person that God created and designed us to be. So that's what God is looking for in our life. He made us for a reason. He made us for a purpose. And we are on that road to become that person. And if we think the right way and get this new attitude and get away from only worrying about the world, we will eventually, hopefully, become that person. We're at least moving in that direction. So the more we think these thoughts, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, all those things, what happens is the more we think about that type of stuff, the more we start thinking, you know, like, of the Word and the good things about the Word and these positive type of thoughts, what happens is the more attractive we become. The more noticeable they become. We start to think easier about those things. At first, you have to tell yourself sometimes. You have to catch yourself when you're fearful to start thinking maybe of some scripture, to start getting into the Word, sing worship. When you're anxious, when you're doubtful, when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're frustrated, go to the Word. Get into the truth of the Word. Get into the life of the Word and start turning it around and start thinking whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble. Those kind of things. And the more we do that, we begin to see those type of things. And then we think on them more and more. And they begin to influence then the way that we live. And pretty soon, they become more than thoughts. They become more than beliefs, and they begin to change us inwardly through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just words. It's not just specific thoughts. It's God's behind all this. And the Holy Spirit then begins to work into our life. And this kind of thinking helps us then develop that character of Christ that so that we can become more like Him. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what He does. He works in us. He's changing us. He's helping us to grow from glory to glory, becoming more and more like Christ. So sooner or later, those thoughts then, they begin to progress into action and lifestyle. Hollywood understands that. You think about it. That's why the progressive left keeps and continues to keep on pushing their ideas, their ways of life, every chance they get. You watch TV shows. How many have you noticed? There's hardly a show out there now without scenes in it that are something 20 years ago no one would ever thought would have been there. And they just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. That's their goal. That's their agenda. They want to make our mind, numb our mind, numb our senses, numb our good morals, numb our faith, so that we eventually just say, oh yeah, that's just how it is. Yeah, that's no big deal. But it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Progressive is really a deceptive name for anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-moral behavior. They're progressing all right. They're progressing farther and farther and farther away from God, away from the godliness that we used to have so much more of in our country. There's still plenty of Christians in our country, but at one time our country was so Christian that anybody that would have tried to have done that would have probably been hung. Nowadays, they get awards. They do. They get awards all over the place. In fact, they just gave some award to an abortionist. It boggles your mind. So that's why we need to be careful about what we allow into our minds. Because whatever is coming in is what's going to eventually begin to change us. And we have to be especially careful with our kids. We need to be careful because we can't just assume that what they're learning in school or what they're learning from TV or from their friends or from the internet is going to line up with what we believe. In fact, it probably won't. So we have to be involved in our children's learning in some way. Ask them what's really going on. Look at their books. Look at what they're watching, what they're doing. Get involved in it. And so now I want to start taking a look at the actual list. Whatever is true. What do you think about when you think about thinking whatever is true? To me, it's sort of funny because the first thing I thought about was a movie that came out. Some of you might right away get it. There's a movie called A Few Good Men, and there's a scene where Jack Nicholson is talking. He's on the stand and he's talking to Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise is badgering him and pushing him, and you know he's trying to get this what he did out of him. And Jack Nicholson looks at him. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. And you know what? There's a lot of people in our world right now that can't handle the truth. And the truth I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. How many times have we heard right across the street they banned the Bible? You know? I remember one time Pastor Don was trying to get some books in there back years, this was years ago, and it became something that was known around the nation. It was on national news that we were trying to get some books over there in the school. And that started happening, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, because they kicked God out of the schools because they can't handle the name of Jesus. A generic word God is okay, but as soon as you say Jesus, they're afraid of that name. All the way back in the days of Peter and John and all those guys, James, when they were out, you cannot speak in this name. They're afraid of the truth of Jesus. It's amazing. And if there's anything that, when you consider what is true, that stands out above everything else, it's Jesus. What did he say in John 14:6? Does anybody remember? He says, I am the way and the what? And the truth and the life. He didn't say, I speak the truth, although he says that all throughout the scripture. But here he's telling us, this is the way it is. I am the way. You want to know the right way to live? You want to know the right way to go? You want to know the right way to do things? I'm that way. Do you want to know the truth? I am the truth. Do you want to know life? I'm life. I give life. I am life. Jesus was truth personified. Now think about that. That's a personified as sort of a fancy way of saying that Jesus was the living truth in the form of a person. That's just, think about that. That's pretty crazy. He was the living truth. The truth became flesh. The truth was alive as a person. So imagine being one of those people who got to know him personally. They could watch him. They could see him living. They could see how he acted. And everything he did was perfection. It was the truth. It was the only right way to live. Every action. I remember when I lived in Boston back in the late 70s for 3 years. I went to college there. And when I first moved there, I had only become a Christian about two years earlier. And I was just voraciously reading the Word while I was there because I was all alone there for the first 6 months. And Carol moved in a little bit later, moved out there. We had just gotten married, and I left from home and moved out there and threw everything in the back of my car and just drove out to Boston, found me an apartment. And so at night, I was reading Scripture like for hours every night. And I was just really, really like devouring it. And one night I was reading it, and I read the passage where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." And here it comes. I can feel it already. It just hit me like a ton of bricks that every single word, that if I want to know how to do this, I want to know how to do that, if I want to know what's real and what's true, it's right there. It's right here in this book. And it hit me so hard that it was one of those revelations that literally changed my life that night. That I knew I had the truth beyond anything else. I'd already fallen in love with God, with the Bible. I'd already changed my whole life, walked away from all kinds of garbage and stuff. And now I got this whole new thing about, now do I not only get saved, now do I not only know the Lord and the Savior, and now I know the truth. I know stuff that nobody, a lot of other people in the world don't know. I know what's true. And of course, we can all know that. But I knew that. And it was so pleasurable, so exciting, so real to me that I now knew the truth. And that's because I knew Jesus. And he spoke to me that night through the Holy Spirit and gave me such an intense revelation. And I hope you all get that to the point where it just explodes in your mind and your heart and it destroys you. It just, you know, of course, if you know me, I broke down crying and because I knew the truth now. So we should be thinking on Jesus because he is the truth. Thinking about what he said. We're supposed to think about whatever is true. So think about what he did for us. Think about how he lived his life. Think about Jesus. Read about Jesus. Find out, what did he say? How did he live? How did he act? How did he treat people? Where did he go? How come he did this? How come he did that? Because everything he did was true. Think about how much he loved you. And that's true. Think about what he did for you on that cross. That's true. That he did it for you. He was a model of perfection. He was a true thing of beauty. And it's there for who wants to open their eyes to see him. If you want it, you will have the truth. And the truth, as it says, will set you free. And of course, Jesus is also known as the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is actually Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. It's telling us. And then we got in John 17:17, it says, "Your Word is truth." So here we have the Word again. We have the only true thing that's completely true that we've ever had in this world is Jesus. And now he's saying, "Your word is truth." Jesus is the Word. Jesus is truth. The Word is truth. So we have that Bible that we, you know, we can pick up and read and know, I got it. I got it. I got to find answers in this book. I got to look in this for the answers to questions I have, because I can find the truth that I can put my life on this. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 gives us an idea about how much God wants to think about His Word and the truth. And I got it right here. It says, these commandments that I give you today. Now here's what He wants you to do about His Word. He says, are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. There's that thing with the kids again. Talk about them when you're sitting at home. And when you walk along the road, when you're out, when you're going to the show, when you're going over to somebody's house, when you're out with somebody, talk about the Word. When you walk along the road, when you're down, when you lie down, and when you get up. So when you're going to bed at night, think about the Word. When you wake up in the morning, think about the Word. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. You know, the Jews, they do those little things. They put them in their hair. These little scrolls, they tie them in their hair to have it on their face at all times. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. In other words, think about it when you're coming and when you're going. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? That's what He's trying to get across to us. Whatever you're doing, try to include in your thoughts while you're doing it, think about me. Think about Jesus. Think about His Word. Think about that truth. We need to get God's Word into our minds. Not just reading about God, not just reading about the Word from other sources, but reading the Word, because the Word is alive. The Word is living. The Word is active. It's effective. It's amazing. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. Whatever is true. Whatever is true. Think about whatever is true. What about this? What about what is true in other people? In your brothers and sisters in Christ. What about what's true in your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents? Or, you know, God wants us to see them through His eyes. God's already been doing some things in their lives, I hope in all of our lives, and hopefully when we look at each other, we can see how God has changed. Ray talked about the dramatic changes that have gone on in his life. I can see it. I still remember him from before. When I first met him, he wasn't such a fun guy. I could see the truth that God has put in him. And He wants us to see that in people so that we don't just look at their problems, we don't just look at somebody's negative things or the way they actually look or the way they talk, but we look and say, look what God is doing in them. Because as we begin to see the truth of God, because that's what the truth is. It's God. When we begin to see God in them, the truth of God in them, like we're commanded to do, we are able then to love them and to love people. So we need to be aware that the father of lies is always trying to get us to get stuck on the lie, the deceiver. He's out there trying to deceive us, to destroy our relationship with God, with others, and he's even trying to destroy us. He wants us to even hate ourselves. Because, you see, there's a truth in me, and there's a truth in you that is good. There's good in you. Sure, you may mess up. I know you're all messing up, because I know I mess up. We all mess up. But there's good in me. There's truth in me. And there's truth in you. And you need to accept that too. That you're growing and that there is good in you and that God is alive in you. So that you can love yourself. Because what does it say in the Word? Love others as what? You love yourself. Love one another as you love yourself. If you can't accept yourself and you hate yourself and you feel guilty and ashamed and broken and hurting and all that, then you're going to be hiding from God for your whole life. You're going to be, you won't be able to have a relationship with Him or with others that's real. Because you're looking at the old things that have passed away. The things that God has already forgiven and forgotten, and you're hung up on them. They are no longer the truth. That was the lie that you used to live, and that's the lie that now is supposed to be gone. So we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus now on what is true in us and keep building that up. So we need to think it, speak it, walk in it, love it, walk in the truth. Next thing it says, whatever is noble. I'm going to go just a little bit more, then I'm going to end it in a couple minutes. Whatever is noble, what does that mean? What is respectful, admirable, honorable, highly regarded, esteemed, those kind of things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are ignoble. Now, ignoble means like shameful and not good. You know, it's the bad things. And if a man cleanses himself from the latter, the ignoble, not good things, he can then be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared for any good work. There is a potential for nobility in every one of you. Some of you have already recognized it, and some of you maybe haven't quite seen it, but God has created you for noble deeds. He created you to be a noble person. You have the ability to do these things for God, and when you're working for God, my gosh, that's a noble task, right? How could it not be? The first thing we need to do is open our mind to the fact that we have a high calling. Every one of us has a high calling. We're not just supposed to become a Christian and flounder around and hope and wait until God takes us home and I'm good, we finally made it. No, we get saved for a purpose. We've got a calling. God has plans for us. God created us, designed us for specific plans and purposes, and anything that He set up will be a noble thing. We're servants of the King of Kings, the Most High God. We are God's agents for good. God is calling on us to take our minds off the trivial things. It's so easy for us to get hung up on trivial things. I mean, sure, I'm not saying we got to vacuum, we got to get gas in the car, we got to work, we got to do all these things, but our life goals, are the things that we hunger and thirst for, the things that we dream about, shouldn't be little trivial things. The flippant things of this world, God has called us to this higher ground, these noble tasks, things that He would like us to accomplish in our life. We have a place of respect in His service. We're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Royal nobility. Think on noble things. It's all in there. I was thinking about, what if you came across this wonderful, I'm sure you've probably heard of something called Waterford crystal. It's this crystal that costs a fortune, and there's goblets and glasses and vases, and they make these bowls, you know, like this Waterford crystal that you put on your, like on a dining room table or a special table, and you would fill it up with ornamental things or design things or maybe even flowers or even artificial flowers, maybe. But it probably costs thousands of dollars. And how would you feel if you loved somebody so much you gave them that piece of Waterford crystal, and then you went over to their house and you watched them, hey, come on down, we're going to have a fire, and they're scooping out their ashes and throwing them into that Waterford crystal? You say, what are you doing? I spent a couple grand on that thing so you could, because you know I think so much of you, I wanted to bless you with something that's like unique and you know wonderful and expensive. And you're throwing the trash in there? Well, God created us to be something wonderful and unique. He designed us for those special purposes. We're supposed to be noble people, doing noble deeds, doing great things. Not just setting our whole hearts, our minds, our whole lives on just stuff with excluding God. Not to say we certainly want hobbies. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with doing other stuff. But we've got to remember, we have these higher calls in our life. So we need to think about those things. Why were we brought here? How are we supposed to help make this world a better place? What better way is there for God to, to let others experience God through the things that we do? And where people see us walking out our calling, using our giftings, bringing glory to God, that we are proclaiming God's glory through what we do. That's noble. That's noble. Think about it. Okay, I'm going to stop there because, like I said, there's no way I'm going to finish it. I still got a few more to do. And all I'm going to say just at the end here is, if we're really serious about being a new creation, we got to remember, we want to change the attitude of our mind. Start to develop this new way of thinking about how we want to train our mind to set our sights on the things of God. We need the Holy Spirit to do it. And we need the Word of God to do it. And we need to put our trust in Jesus. And if we get His Word in our mind and we love it, we learn it, and we live it, our mind is going to be changed. It's going to be transformed. So let's, if I could have the prayer team come forward. Let's close the prayer. Father, we want to thank You, Lord. We thank You that we can have a new mind. We thank You that You've given us direction, insight. You've given us Your Word. You've given us the opportunity. You've given us Your Holy Spirit. You've given us everything we need to become that person that You created us to be, to do those things that You created us for, to become that person that You want us to be, Lord God. Help us to grow in that way, Lord God, to change our thinking, to change our attitude, to be made new in the attitude of our mind, to put off our former way of thinking and to think as You want us to think, to train that mind of ours, Lord God, to be useful to You, to bring glory, to proclaim Your glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming out today. And God bless you. Encourage people to come on out and have a great day. We got coffee and donuts upstairs, too. Amen. When He told you you're not good enough, when He told you you're not right, when He told you you're not strong, put up a good fight. When He told you you're not worthy, when He told you you're not loved, when He told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear, He is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, He is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. Cause fear, He is a liar. Find a home. When He told you you were dirty,
grace can never change. Let your fire fall, cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall, cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall, cast out. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Oh, let your fire fall, cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Oh, fear is a liar. Fear, he is a liar.